This is Lanza Radio Network Pasadena, streaming live at lanzaradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Lanza Radio Network Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live at lanzaradionetwork.org. This is Four Names of Professional Creativity, and I'm your host, Kevin Paul Shaw Broden. It's hard to believe that it's nearly 44 years since the words "a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away" first scrolled up before us on the movie screens for the first time. We're joined today by someone who was there at the beginning, Craig Millard, to discuss his book, Star Wars Memories, My Time in the Death Star Trenches. Thank you for joining us, Craig.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
We're all fans of Star Wars movies, but I understand that being a fan of science fiction is what got you connected with and hired at Lucasfilm to work on the film. Is that correct?
That's right. I grew up a science fiction and comics fan, and I met, really by happenstance, a fellow named Charlie Lippincott, who was doing the publicity, marketing, and licensing for Star Wars. This was in 1976. And for a variety of reasons, he knew that to build an audience, he needed to tap into the existing science fiction and comics fandom, because science fiction wasn't a popular genre at the time. People had a very low opinion of science fiction overall. And while he knew he needed to tap into it, it was not an area of expertise for him. So I was hired as a consultant, basically, on conventions and fandom in that year prior to the release of Star Wars. And then eventually I was brought on staff full time.
The studio was quite surprised by that fan response when you were first hinting at it and bringing it out to the conventions. Is that correct?
Yes and no. I mean, I think they knew there were science fiction fans and comics fans, and the idea of marketing to them made sense. It wasn't a studio idea. It was Charlie's idea. Charlie was part of Lucasfilm and what was then called Star Wars Corporation. They just didn't think the movie would have the response beyond fans that it had.
Yeah, and as a consultant, what was your hand in this then?
Well, my hand was not, you know, he already had the idea that he needed to go out to the fans and start building word of mouth there. I just helped with figuring out which conventions and which groups and where the bookstores were around the country and that sort of thing. So I was providing information.
Okay. What got you into deciding to write this book then about that time?
Oh, well, you know, it is, as you say, now 43 years, and I've been doing, you know, pretty much since I left Lucasfilm in 1980, I get asked all the time by people questions about Star Wars. I did a lot of convention, science fiction and comic book convention appearances talking about Star Wars. And I just decided I wanted to write a book about my experiences there and the things that happened that I'm aware of. And it's all, my book is all, I guess, behind the scenes stories, but it's not anything you've read anywhere else. It's not, the Millennium Falcon was this many feet across, or all the stories you've possibly read in books like The Making of Star Wars or The Making of Empire Strikes Back. but they are what I thought were interesting and entertaining stories. And as I said, I've been appearing at a lot of places telling them to great response. So I wrote the book, and I've been very fortunate that the reviews have all been very, very good. The on Amazon, it's almost all 5-star reviews. So it's been doing well, and it's a popular book. And the stories are, I think, and the readers think, fun.
Well, that's good to hear. Did you have much direct interaction with George, Lucas?
Oh, yes, a lot. Not so much before Star Wars came out, because, of course, he was very busy working on finishing the film. But a little bit there. And then once I came on full time, I would see George frequently and interact with him frequently. I talk about in the book a number of times where I, as part of what I did, my title was Director of Fan Relations. I was a general publicist, but I, on top of that, dealt with all the conventions and the fans and the fandoms. I'd go in and talk to George about things like, why did Han Solo say he did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, which suggests that was fast, and parsecs isn't a measure of time, or why didn't Chewie get a medal, and stuff like that. And of course, they were just general conversations, not related to it. But I had a lot of input and interfacing directly with George, with Gary Kurtz. I spent time with Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Tony Daniels on Empire with Irv Kirshner, who directed that. So yeah, I was working with all of those people frequently.
Thank you. We're going to need to take a break here for a moment. We'll be right back.
Lancer Radio Network.
What's up? It's Jay Robles from Lancer Radio. Want to know why I like Pasadena City College? I like PCC because everyone is super friendly and kind, and the campus itself has great vibes. PCC is where you want to be next semester. We are always welcoming new Lancers.
PCC is great because it offers the hands-on experience I need to pursue a career in a field that I enjoy, along with all the resources I've needed to complete my personal and academic goals.
What I really love about Pasadena City College are all of the professors who work in the television and radio industry. They have loads of knowledge, and they're teaching us a lot of things that we can apply in our careers. I really love PCC for that.
Lancer Radio Network. LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena City College, LancerRadioNetwork.org. I am your host, Kevin Paul Shaw Broden, and this is Four Names of Professional Creativity. We're talking with Craig Miller, who worked on the original Star Wars films, about his book, Star Wars Memories, My Time in the Death Star Trenches. When I was a kid, I had a Luke Skywalker action figure and his land speeder and a droid. My parents weren't able to find an R2-D2. How did merchandising become such a major part of the success of Star Wars?
I think everyone knew, well, I shouldn't say everyone, Fox didn't think so. Merchandising wasn't as big a deal back then as it became. In fact, George said he wanted control of the merchandising and a large financial stake in the merchandising. And Fox made the deal with him to give it to him because they figured that wasn't worth anything. They'd never make that much because nothing else, even the Planet of the Apes movies, which were their big science fiction movies prior to Star Wars, they had some merchandising, but it was really just a little bit. Even Star Trek back in the 70s, there was not that much. So Star Wars, the merchandising really exploded. People really, really wanted. They connected with the movie, they enjoyed the movie, and the idea of having action figures of the characters, which were the first set of toys, and eventually, you know, versions of the ships and all that kind of stuff. And then there were the novelization, the comic books, and all of that kind of stuff. And it just exploded beyond anyone's imagination to how popular they were.
As someone who was there, what are your thoughts now that all nine films are completed as a whole?
You know, it's interesting. I'm glad nine movies got made. The storylines for those nine movies are different than what had originally been projected. While we were making Empire Strikes Back, George decided he didn't want to keep making Star Wars movies. He would make the third movie of that trilogy, the movie that became Return of the Jedi, but he wasn't going to make the first or third trilogy. That obviously changed over time. So the third movie, what became Return of the Jedi, was originally going to be about Boba Fett and getting Han Solo back and defrosted, so to speak. And the redemption of Darth Vader and the overcoming of the Empire, of the Emperor and the Empire, were what was going to take place in the third trilogy. But when George decided not to make that trilogy, he felt he had to deal with that in the third movie, in Return of the Jedi. And that's why Boba Fett went from supposed to be the big villain of that movie to being in the way. And that's why he literally gets bumped into in the first 10 minutes of the movie and knocked off of, you know, Jabba's sail barge and into the mouth of a monster to get him out of the way. Han Solo is defrosted quickly, and the whole redemption of Darth Vader and overcoming the Emperor is now squeezed into that movie when it was supposed to be the plot of the next three movies. It's good to see everything, you know, worked out and told.
And on a similar question on that, how do you see the Star Wars fandom has changed over time?
Well, fandom for everything has changed over time. The internet has had a good and a bad effect on everything. Information spreads much more quickly. You can meet online, interact with people who share your interests, your views. But at the same time, the internet has become a bastion for people to, you know, be insulting, to condemn things, to try to make themselves feel superior by cutting other things down. You don't like a movie, you don't like a book, that's okay. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But your opinion or my opinion isn't better or more accurate than anyone else's opinion. And you get a lot of people, really the minority, but they're a lot more vocal, attacking and knocking things. And I think that's unfortunate. You know, you got this whole set of people. When the first trilogy came out, Phantom Menace and those movies, there were a lot of people who knocked them. We really didn't have the internet then, but still there was a vocal group who thought they were terrible. I confess, I didn't think they were very good myself. They weren't what I wanted to see, but that was just my opinion and not something I had to wave flags and shout from the rooftops. The third trilogy, and you know, and that was when we were getting, oh, George Lucas was destroying my childhood, and you know, and everyone hated those, or lots of people hated those movies and were attacking George and all that. Now with these trilogies, this trilogy rather, they're all like, oh, Disney has destroyed Star Wars, and why can't we go back to the great movies George made? And, you know, it's like the internet has made the people, those people, much more vocal. And it's okay that they have that opinion. They're entitled to it. But they shouldn't be going out and trying to knock everyone else's opinion about it.
Indeed. And I thank you very much for your opinion on that. And we've reached the end of our time here. We've been talking with Craig Miller about his time working on the original Star Wars movies and sharing with us about tales from his book, Star Wars Memories, My Time with the Death Star Trenches. I am your host, Kevin Paul Shaw Broden. You've been listening to Ford Names Professional Creativity. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College, LancerRadioNetwork.org. Follow us on Instagram at Lancer Radio Network.
This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.